And his Anglican bishop was so happy that a Catholic priest, and worst of all, a Jesuit, was teaching Catholicism. And I mean Catholicism to these Anglican seminarians. Well, listen to this. You know, there are two kinds of Anglicans. You know that, don't you? Those who call themselves Anglo-Catholics, and well, all the others. The Anglo-Catholics began with Cardinal Newman, remember? He became a Catholic, having been an Anglican, well, pastor, became a Catholic, remember, in the mid-19th century. And then so many Anglicans were impressed by Newman, before he died, he became cardinal. They were so impressed by Newman that they decided they were going to become Anglo-Catholics. So what do? They decided they're going to become real priests. Most Pope Leo XIII, remember, made a formal document declaring Anglican orders are not valid. So, what do the Anglo-Catholics do to this day? They make sure that the bishop ordains them. Either he or his predecessor was ordained by an Orthodox bishop. And the Orthodox cooperate with the Anglicans in ordaining Anglican bishops. And I didn't see the list. There's a book. All the Anglican bishops in the world are listed with their episcopal genealogy. And my students all told me that when they are ordained, they want to be sure they are ordained priests, because then their ordination can be traced to the Orthodox. Orthodox, as you know, have valid orders, 7 sacraments, and a valid episcopate. And I cannot tell you how happy they were to learn pure, undiluted Catholic doctrine. And sisters, I can tell you this. I deal with so many non-Catholics. I think I should say it. Sisters, we are spoiled. We've been nourished on the truth for so many years. And of course, like a good meal, truth is satisfying. Well, thank the Lord, as I keep saying, for the heretics to wake us up. But these people, I think I've said this more than once. I taught in 6 Protestant seminaries, and never once, I don't say a 2-semester course, even 1 lecture on Protestantism. Always you want to hear about Catholicism. The hunger for the truth, sisters, is the deepest hunger of the human heart. And now he starts another section. This is now on the need of vocations to the priesthood. The need of vocations to the priesthood. And sisters, in the United States, we have an association called the Institute on Religious Life. We also have an organization for promoting vocations. And I happen to be the spiritual director of this national association. Every country needs vocations, but some countries are desperate. And this is where you people living in India sisters, when I participated, it was, how long did that Corpus Christi procession and ceremony last? Up to 3 hours, right? I can't tell you how happy I was. Very happy. But there are countries, especially in the Western world, so-called developed countries, Germany, Austria, France, England, Canada, United States, and much of South America, desperately in need of good priests. And, as we read yesterday, and the whole document from the Holy See, remember, ensuring that the people who are not priests do not become or consider themselves clergy, and the clergy not be laicized. The need of vocations to the priesthood, first by way of introduction. In 1935, an organization called SERA International started in Western United States to promote vocations to the priesthood. And may I ask, is there any in India, is there any organization for promoting vocations in India?
Vocation promoter priest. In every diocese there is a vocation promoter priest.
Yeah. However, promoting vocation is one thing. Getting vocation is something else. Are they getting enough vocations in India?
Yes.
In any case, started in the United States and is spread to other countries. And in speaking to people who promote vocations, I tell them the need in one Western country after another, and the European countries, is very grave. Sisters, who remembers? I think I told you people. How many Catholics were there in Africa in 1900? How many?